Good afternoon, Upstate. Welcome to Upstate Outdoors. You're listening to 106.3 WORD. I'm Philip Gentry along with Tommy Springer.
In the house.
And we are coming to you live on this Saturday. We got a great show coming up for you today. As always, we're going to start out the show with the Upstate Outdoors blog. And, man, it's been...
Hot.
It's been hot. So, you know, it seems like just wasn't too long ago we were complaining about, when's it ever going to get warm?
I'm thinking we ought to extend the naked mow the grass weekend, yeah. Like for, you know.
Naked gardening week.
Whatever, yeah. Phil.
Well, we're going to talk about, on the Yoga Pants Diaries today, we're going to talk about air-conditioned water. And that's what you're looking for this time of year because fish are starting to really feel the heat.
And they're looking for cool water.
So we'll cover that in the Upstate Outdoors blog. And then, very quietly, we're going to talk to the Shark Whisperer.
Woo!
Yep, Captain Chip Michaelove. Any of you who've followed any of the media, really the outdoor media
anywhere. He's all over, man. He's all over the media.
And so we've got our buddy, Captain Chip Michaelove. And,
I'm jacked up about that.
His claim to fame of late, the last couple of years, has been catching great white sharks on rod and reel.
Correct.
Tagging them. And what is the app? The Sharktivity,
yes,
app that you can follow them on. But he is also a full-time, year-round fishing guide down at Hilton Head Island. And it just so happens at this time of year, he's also shark fishing.
Well, there might be a few around, Philip.
Yeah, well, he's been... I talked with Chip.
They're swimming in the shallows, for God's sake.
Well, I talked with Chip a couple of days ago to schedule the interview, and he said that they had caught, for the third time, the same tiger shark that was 15 feet.
So it's just like kind of local boy.
Yeah.
Or local gal, whatever the case may be.
And so, you go with Captain Chip Michaelove to the honey hole, you better bring a big spoon, because that's what he's going to have for
and
you.
And lots of water and Powerade.
Yeah. Then we're going to cover we talked a couple weeks ago about the law change for redfish along the coast. We've also got another law change that's been in the works, protecting some spawning trout, cold water trout this time, in the lower Saluda River, which is the area from below Lake Murray.
Right.
In the Saluda River part. So we'll cover that. And then during the second hour, Springer's going to bring us the Roadkill Cafe.
I'm going to leave it as a secret, but it's really good, and it's a throwback, and it's the original. Okay, and it has to do with fish, salad, and a personal friend of mine.
And beer.
No beer involved.
So today's Roadkill Cafe is alcohol-friendly. Yeah. And then, you know, really cool, we do a lot of stuff with Bass Angler Sportsman Society, and got a news release earlier this week from Bass,
right,
about their involvement. And Springer, you'll really love this, about, Bass is freshwater. They go all over, bass fish freshwater, but they've got a new saltwater conservation advocacy group.
I've seen it.
And they've launched a website, and so we'll talk to Gene Gilliland. He's the conservation director for BASS, and talk about, you got freshwater guys who are dealing with some of these conservation issues,
right,
that are plaguing saltwater anglers.
True.
All over the globe, but particularly in the United States. So looking forward to talking to Gene. And then Sunday, tomorrow, is Father's Day.
Love you, Dad.
Yeah.
He's listening, man.
So in true Upstate Outdoors fashion, we're going to bring you the Father's Day gift idea guide. Springer says,
Dad's giving
12 pack of beers good for me.
No. Dad's giving me. Man, Dad, I should be doing this for him.
Yeah.
And he's doing it for Springer because I'm fixing to see him real soon.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
It's special.
What did he do? He's like, what did I do? Why does he keep every year for Father's Day? And then, I dare ask the calendar of events.
We've got them, baby.
We got some, baby. Springer got internet access this week.
It's been a trying week, PG. Yep. I'm fixing to be, and I got a lot going on, and there's not a whole lot going on. You got to create stuff.
Yep.
But it's actually legitimate.
Well, for our parting shot today, We got a pretty interesting story about a raccoon who basically what raccoons do.
I think he thought he was Spider-Man.
Yeah, he's scaling a skyscraper up north somewhere. And, cool. Of course, that captivated everybody. And I don't want to ruin the story, but he's hanging out.
Hey, they do this in the South all the time.
Yeah. Ain't no different, right? Skyscraper up in Minnesota is no different from climbing up a 200-foot tree down south.
Or in
right?
your attic, whatever.
Yep. So, we got to talk about next week. We'll have actually for 2 weeks.
Yes.
You bum. We'll have a co-host in. Springer's going to run off down there to
see my people, man.
Do you put a beach towel on the beach and face east and play that weird music?
No, man.
When Springer returns
fishing.
To Mecca every year?
I'm fishing. I'm either on a boat, Philip Gentry, or I'm on a big old piece of cement slab over the Gulf of Mexico, and I'm fishing.
Okay.
I am locked in. I am locked on. I am cock-locked. I am agile, mobile, hostile, and ready to get her done.
Well, and so while you're doing all of that, we're going to have actually, I already got your replacements lined up for the next 2 weeks.
Do.
We got a buddy of mine, been on the show a couple of times, Dieter Melhorn.
Wow.
Is going to be a guest sitting in next week. That's, I think, the 23rd.
That would be correct.
Yeah, he'll be sitting in. And
day after my wedding anniversary. Love you, Lisa.
Well, he'll be filling in. He'll be wearing Springer's flip-flops while he's gone. And then on the 30th. We're going to have Information Director for South Carolina Department of Natural Resources, Kendall McConkie.
Yeah.
She's going to be sitting in. So,
dude, that's gold right there, PG.
So if you're
she's so much better looking than Springer.
If you're an avid listener to the show, then you're like, hey, we get a break for a couple weeks.
Hey, you know, I mean, I got to go home and got to see my people. I do it one time a year.
Are you going to call in while you're gone?
Yes, if you want me to.
Are you?
I'd love to.
We haven't got there yet.
I'd love to. You know, 1-800-347-1063.
Yeah.
The Upstate Outdoors.
They're probably calling in. Of course, last time it was like, I got a fish on.
Leave me alone. And it might be the same thing this time. I mean, dude, I go home and I'm locked in, Philip. It's all about killing as many legal fish as I can kill while I'm there.
Because he's got to eat
for the week. In the Gulf of Mexico.
Well, let's go to our break, and then when we come back, we'll jump into the Upstate Outdoors blog.
Right here on Upstate Outdoors, 1063 WORD, where Springer's not nuts. Man, he just loves to go home and smell the salt water. Be back on the flip side.
And Upstate Outdoors is back on your radio. And we were talking a little bit at the start of the show about the summertime heat.
It's hot.
And that...
And I love it.
There are a lot of folks out on the water and out on the lakes and all, and they've kind of given up, especially if you're talking about freshwater fishing. You got all the agitators that are out running around everywhere.
That would be correct.
But for the diehard anglers, you can still find some. I mean, they don't get out of the lake. They don't
no.
go away. But they're a little
they
bit
don't
harder.
Go on vacation.
No,
Philip.
They don't go on vacation. A little bit harder to find. So I was sitting down this week writing the Upstate Outdoors blog, and figured I would talk about finding air-conditioned water to catch more summertime fish. Now, when it gets hot during the summer, people prefer to spend time somewhere where it's cooler. That could mean up in the mountains, near the beach at the water, or inside where the air conditioner is running. Well, fish are really not that different. Now, to find cooler water, fish also have several choices. They can go up river where cooler water is flowing in. They can find an area that stays shady throughout the day. Or they can go deep where nature provides its own form of air conditioning. Now, during the summertime months when fishing can become difficult, much of that air-conditioned water that anglers are looking for to find fish is related to a thermocline.
Thermocline, baby.
Now, thermocline is a layer of water more often found in a larger body of water where the temperature gradient is greater than that of the warmer water above the colder water layer because cold water sinks.
Exactly.
It's heavier. All right, to understand the concept, a quick physical science lesson is in order. Typical reservoir may have uniform temperatures throughout the lake from top to bottom for only a short period of time in the spring and again in the fall. In the summer, most lakes with sufficient depth, and I'm talking somewhere from 30 to 40 deep, 40 foot deep, and doesn't even have to be that deep, but they stratify into distinct non-mixing layers of different temperatures. The top warmer layer is referred to as, say this word for me.
No.
Epimillimum.
I like it, Phil. That sounds good to me.
It's the epimillimum.
Yes, sir.
Epimillimion. I had to look that up.
Hey, dude, that's a tough one.
Since the upper warmer layer. And the bottom colder layer is known as the hypolimium. Hypolimium. Looked that up too.
Is that like aluminum?
Okay, yeah. These two layers are separated by the metalliminum.
Wow. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry, Philip.
So you got the
epilimum?
The epilum.
The hypolimum. And the metalliminum.
The colder layer is the hypo and the meta in the middle. Now, the middle layer, which is better known as the thermocline, is a zone of rapidly changing temperature. You'll understand the concept better if you've ever dove down into a lake when you're swimming and found substantially colder water just several feet below the surface. Now, fish thrive in this cooler layer because it has the best balance of dissolved oxygen. The colder water below the hypolimium is actually devoid of oxygen.
True.
That's because little sunlight reaches the hypolimium, and photosynthetic oxygen production is negligible, and decomposition of dead plant and animal material on the lake floor leads to declining oxygen levels as the summer progresses.
Let me put it in Springer's terms. That's some bad mojo down there for fish.
Well, what's happening is the stuff that's decaying on the bottom.
I get it.
Is eating up all the oxygen.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So, now, to understand the seasonal movements of fish in our local reservoirs, and we're talking about striped bass, largemouth bass, spotted bass, and even larger catfish species, during the summer months, you have to be constantly on the water monitoring them. Now, as the temperatures and the water inflows change, so do fish movements. Now, the best way to determine the level of the thermocline is by adjusting the sensitivity on your sonar unit. It's denser. It starts to get denser.
Right.
And if you turn the sensitivity up, you'll actually see a line start to form. Okay? So you can actually read that cooler, denser water. The cooler, denser water rebounds the signal and charts a slight line across the graph, marking the depth level. If fish are present in that area of the thermocline, it will also be at the level where most of them are residing.
And the electronics we have nowadays, it's just like, it's like reading a book, man. Yep.
Now, the next step to find a fish is locating where the thermocline layer meets suitable fish cover. Now, in some cases, fish will just kind of hang out there, just out there in the wide open blue. But for the most part, they want to have some type of cover. Now, most anglers can often confuse the term structure and cover. Simply stated, structure is any terrain feature that crappie, bass, stripers, or other fish will find favorable given the time of year. Now, cover is a physical object. A stump, a tree, rock pile, bridge, boat dock, whatever, that usually rises vertically in a water column to either break the current or provide a hiding place. Now, many successful anglers understand the concept of fishing break lines. That's an underwater ridge where the bottom drops away to deeper water. And as a method of locating fish at a particular depth, they get on a specific break line and just follow it all over the lake, okay?
It's the best place to be.
Since we already know that fish are more inclined to suspend at the level of the thermocline, the key is to put your baits right in the top of the thermocline and then follow the break line around. Or you can graph it, and if you're looking for concentrations of fish, most of the time you're going to be fishing vertically anyway because they're in deeper water.
Right.
And then when you come across some kind of fish holding structure, then that's where you're going to be looking
for fish. That's where everybody's going to be.
That's where they'll be at.
Because it's hot.
Any questions?
No. You got one?
Oh, by the way, we're going to have Captain Chip Michael of the Shark Whisperer from Hilton Head Island. I always put that in at the end of the at the blog.
That's some good stuff.
To give people a little teaser on what's going on there.
Hey, man, I'm looking forward to talking to Chip.
And then, you know, the other things really we didn't talk about was finding shade. You know, a lot of that's going to be boat dock fishing, or when do you find the most shade?
Right.
At night.
At night.
Yeah. So a lot of people start going nocturnal. That's when people get off the lake. And water temperatures won't necessarily cool down that much overnight.
No.
But, you know, when you're talking about fishing, now what we're talking about fishing around the thermocline, the temperature difference is going to be phenomenal. I'm talking about 20 degrees.
Yes.
Okay, where surface temperature might be 90. And then it's going to be 70 at the thermocline. But, you know, if you're looking for shaded areas, you're only looking 2-3 degrees difference. Or nighttime, where when the sun goes down, the water will cool off a little bit overnight.
A little bit.
So, but those... You know, those are just factors that come into it. The other thing that we didn't really talk a whole lot about, and this is a lot of the fishery on a lot of our bigger reservoirs where you've got a reservoir above or you've got a tributary coming in, and you're going to have that water's going to be cooler.
Right.
Especially the further up you go, you know, I'm thinking like Lake Kiwi, Joe Cassie and all. If you've got water that's coming in, because a lot of that is released – you know, through the dam system, and that water is going to be released from that low. Actually, what you're getting is you're getting that same thermocline or less water.
Right.
And you say, well, I thought you just said that cold water at the bottom doesn't have any oxygen in it. Well, guess what?
Well, when it gets run through that.
When they run it through the turbines, it re-oxygenates it.
It's like putting, you know, it's like putting an aerator in your daggum bait bucket.
That's it. It's on just on a larger scale.
Yes.
And that's why this time of year you'll see a lot of folks that go up behind the dams and fish, and then you got the whole current deal to deal with. That's a story for a whole nother.
And another thing, why if you're going to be fishing in the heat, be safe. I mean, dude, hydrate.
Yep.
I mean, drink lots of water, Gatorade, Powerade, whatever.
It's really tough this time of year. I mean,
it's tough
in
the daytime.
Well, especially if you got longer days. So
yes.
In the wintertime, it's pretty easy to say, well, I'm going to get on the lake early,
right?
Fish all day.
Right.
Well, you know, now all day is 4 or 5 hours longer.
Yes.
So Springer's right. Be careful out there. And,
you're right.
Give those give those places a chance. And we're going to get to our break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk to the Shark Whisperer.
The man, Mr. Chip, Captain Chip, right here live on Upstate Outdoors. We're going to talk everything sharks. So stay tuned right here on Upstate Outdoors, 1063 WORD. Philip, I think we need a bigger boat.
Welcome back. Upstate Outdoors is on your radio, and we've got a special guest, always special, anytime that we get to call down to Hilton Head Island and talk to the Shark Whisperer.
Yes.
We got Captain Chip Michael Love from Outcast Fishing Charters. And, Chip, welcome back to Upstate Outdoors.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. I appreciate you having me.
It's been fun watching you on the World Wide Web. And, Captain Chip, believe me, you worldwide, brother.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh, man. I tell you, these last few years have just been amazing, absolutely amazing. I never would have guessed it would have taken off like this.
Well, I mean, you know, it's great when you get to when you do something that you love and your love for it shows, and a lot of people get hooked into that. And it doesn't hurt when you love catching big sharks because, you know, that's always going to make it to the news.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I see the numbers. You know, you put a king mackerel up, it's no big deal. But you put a picture up of a big tiger shark or great white, and the phone's ringing and the news is calling, and it definitely catches everybody's attention. And let me tell you, man, these sharks aren't, you know, 100 pounds. Some of these sharks are well over, you know, 2,000 pounds, the ones in the wintertime. And our tiger shark fishery is solid as well in the summer. So you just never know. You know, we got them all year round.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. And I hate to give out too much information, but, you know, obviously you've discovered a pattern for great white sharks and that are coming into the Carolinas and Georgia right there around Hilton Head Island. And what do you think? You've been messing with them for a couple of years. Is this like a breeding ground for these sharks over the winter?
You know, I don't think they're breeding here. I think they're just coming down to feed. You know, it took me forever. It took me so many years to try to catch one. And once I caught that first one, I went back and got another and then another. And then after a few years, I figured out the migration route, the water temperature, the bait, the clarity, the method, the tackle. I mean, there were so many variables. and they're coming down here and they're feeding, you know, the big ones are eating bottlenose dolphin, turtles, whales. The small ones are eating smaller fish like stingrays and smaller sharks and dogfish, stuff like that. But they're really just coming down here to feed. I think they all come down from Massachusetts. I think their target is maybe around Jacksonville or Georgia. It all depends on how cold our winter is, but they definitely love South Carolina. And it's not new. This migration's been going on for, a million years. So this isn't just a new find. They've always been here. I've just got lucky enough to stumble across it.
Now, during the wintertime, do you actually charter? Do you take folks out and charter for a great white shark fishing trip?
No, I'm not. I've got a crew that I've been taking. I've got the same three, four, five guys I take every single time. And I'm working with the Dr. Scomel and the Atlantic White Shark Conservancy and the Massachusetts Marine Division up north. And I'm on a permit that allows me to handle these fish. And so I'm not running charters. I'm just taking a lot of close friends out that I know I can trust and are hard workers. And, man, it's a sight. And it's addicting. I'm fishing here in the summer, and I don't think a minute goes by where I'm like, all right, how much longer do the great whites show up? I mean, it's a lot of fun.
And on that, Chip, you know, you just can't take anybody out there to do that with a great white shark. And I get it, brother. I get it. I'm boat savvy. I've been around big fish. And, you know, you get out there with a big fish like that, you just can't have somebody that maybe not do the right thing and not in click with the rest of the crew. And because that's a big fish. Hell, it's as big as your boat, brother.
It is. It's big. You know, some of these fish are over 16 feet long. And, I mean, there's some monsters. And up in Massachusetts, they've tagged them up to 5,000 pounds. And those fish are here in South Carolina, Georgia, Florida. They come right through. I haven't seen one that large yet, but they're there. They're coming through. So I do like an experienced crew that knows what's going on. And they can read my mind before I even say it. And I'll tell you another thing is, I know this sounds crazy, but I don't want this to become something that I wish I didn't find. If there's, you know, ever becomes 50 boats out there fishing for these things and accidentally killing them and they're washing up dead and all of a sudden there's they want to close a section of the ocean off, kind of like they do at Gray's Reef, you know, to protect them because there's so much pressure on them. So I hope this doesn't, you know, come back to bite me or come back to bite the fish. I hope it kind of stays relatively small. I hope it doesn't but in the meantime I want everybody to experience, so I'm kind of caught in between. But my
videos are a great asset and definitely help.
Amen.
Well, thanks, I appreciate it. I try to get videos and pictures of the big ones, but man, it seems like we all need a hand on the rod and leaders, and you know, we're all grabbing stuff. So nobody ever can get anything good footage of the really large ones. But I just started working with a professional photographer, and he's going to get in the water next year. So how about that?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, more for the chum line, right? But talking about South Carolina is also blessed. You know, the great whites come in through the winter, but South Carolina is also very blessed with a number of large sharks that you do charter for, namely tiger sharks and hammerhead sharks, and I've seen some sand tiger sharks as well as some lemon sharks that are pretty good size.
Right. You know, and a matter of fact, yesterday I caught the biggest tiger shark that I've seen in 3 years, maybe. I mean, it's been a few years. We wrapped into one yesterday that was about 1,400 pounds, and it was a monster. And then we pulled it up, and there was a tag on it. I caught that sucker a few years ago. This is the second time I caught this guy. So, a monster. I mean, it was all of 14. Not all of 14. It was a little bit less than 14 feet long. We've got an awesome tiger shark fishery. And I tell you what's blowing up are these hammerheads. We had an incredible hammerhead season last year. Last year was my best hammer season I've ever seen. We got into a good stretch where we got one every single day, and those guys are up around 600 or 700 pounds on the larger ones. So it's lemons are real big, and those bulls and black tips are pretty nasty too.
Man, that makes a when you've had a 1,500 pound tiger shark, that makes a 6 or 7 to 8 foot spinner shark. So you're like, guys, I'm really sorry. You know, we only caught a 250 pound fish. I really apologize for this.
Wow.
You know what? You're not going to believe it. I actually did that today. Yesterday, they were all talking about the shark I caught. I go out today and we caught a bunch of black tips and they were like 50 to 80 pounds, I would say, right in there. And I actually apologized. I said, man, I wish we got into some bigger fish. And they were thrilled just catching bait. Like they were just, but my mind is so set on, you know, I want a 1,000 pounder every single day. And when it doesn't happen, I feel bad. But it's just, you know, I just want my people to experience the craziest thing they've ever seen. So it's funny you said that. It just happened.
Well, and when the sharks wind down, I mean, the great thing about the Hilton Head area is you've got tarpon that are going to come in, probably be good in about another month, you think? And then after that, you got the bull redfish that a lot of people like to fish for.
Right. You know what? People don't realize we've had a really good tarpon season the last couple of years. There was about a three-week stretch last year where there was, I mean, it was like every day, you know, guys were on them. So, I mean, well, we had a great tarpon season last year, the year before, and then the bull reds are going nuts. And you know, once October gets here, but it is. You know, a lot of people think that I just go for sharks, but I fish for whatever's there, whatever's available. The first tarpon was caught just recently, a few days ago, by my good friend Chris Prince, and then we saw some today in the Sound. So they're moving in, and hopefully by 4th of July it'll be hot.
Well, Chip, let me ask you this. When those tarpon start showing up like they are now, you think maybe the hammerheads may be lurking along to gather up some bites? Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah. You know, the first hammers we catch are the scalloped hammers. Those are the ones. They're about 7, 8, 9 feet long. They're small, a little skinnier. And then as soon as I start seeing the tarpon come through, then the big, great hammerheads start coming in, the monsters. And those things, man, those things, they've got a dorsal fin like a killer whale. I mean, they're just... Those are big, big sharks. So they'll be in any second. They'll be inshore. The great hammerheads will be. And I don't know. I love fishing for tarpon, but a hammer is just as fun. I mean, you want a backbreaker. Those hammerheads will put you they'll put you in the hospital. You'll need hernia surgery. You fight one of those things for a little while.
Well, Chip, you got a lot of listeners out there that are wanting to get in touch with you and maybe book a trip for a shark trip or a tarpon trip. How can they get hold of you and get some more information and get lined up with you?
Well, a couple ways to find me. I've got Outcast Sport Fishing on Facebook. I always post stuff on there, pictures on what I'm catching every couple days. You can check out my website at outcastfishing.com. Or I'm on Instagram. I'm on all this social media stuff, you know, trying to keep up with the young guys these days. So everything's under Outcast with a C. I'm not the rap group. Outcast with a C. Or you can call me anytime. I'm usually home every evening, 843-290-0371.
All right, Captain Chip Michael of the Shark Whisperer. Hey, you want to have a great adventure, you need to hook up with Captain Chip.
Always a pleasure talking to you, Captain Chip.
Thanks, guys. Awesome. I appreciate it.
All right. Love you, brother. Mean it.
Okay. Thanks, man. Come on down and see me.
Woo! Trying to do it, Chip.
All right. See you, buddy.
And we're back. Man, can you imagine?
Catching a fish with a mouth that big, Philip Gentry. And for you out there in radio land that can't see,
you know what they call
that's
that?
Big.
You know what they call that?
What's that?
Bite radius. We're looking for an animal that's got a bite radius this big.
Do a little quip for me. Oh, I got me a taxidermy. Do
back home, I got a taxidermy man. He's going to have a heart attack when he see what I bring him. What's the thing about that?
Let me tell you
Chip
something.
Chip don't bring no fish back in.
No, it's all released. All the fish are released.
You know, the funny thing about it, and we've talked to him about this before, and I've heard him talk about this before. The state record lemon shark was actually caught on his boat.
Yes.
And, you know, to have a state record, you got to bring it in dead and weigh it and everything. And he's not real happy about that.
No, he's not.
You know, that was something that he did when he was, you know, younger. Not, yeah, you know, state records cut off my boat, but I'm not real happy about 380-pound lemon shark.
That's a stud.
Meeting, you know, having to kill it to get a state record.
And people, Let me tell you something. When you get fish that size next to your boat, because fish, you know, Chip's not fishing, what, 25-foot center console?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's a handful, Philip Gentry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's a handful.
I can't imagine trying to battle one of those big white sharks like that.
I mean, that's why he only goes with a certain handful of people.
Or a charter out for a 15-foot tiger shark.
Hello.
Yeah, keep your hands and feet inside the boat
at all
times.
I would be so nervous about, you know, the people on board because they're not used to this.
Yep.
You know?
And he's probably the same way.
But yeah, a nervous wreck.
But if you're looking for something a little more along the speed of safety. Actually, the DNR, there was a new law change. DNR put this in a news release. They're changing state law regarding trout fishing, and this law will soon be in place to start July the 1st in the lower Saluda River. Now, anglers in the Midlands of South Carolina have long enjoyed, you know, fishing in the Saluda River. It's a put, grow, and take fishery, where, in other words, it's stocked. But they're relying on water coming out of Lake Murray,
right,
you know, for the cold water. So, you know, during the wintertime, you got trout in there, and they go fish for them during the springtime. And then during the summertime, it's like, well, okay, you know, the trout usually were either caught out or, you know, they died.
Right.
Actually, one of the things that they don't talk about is the stripers come up from...
And eat the crap out of them.
And they eat those trout like, you know, nobody's business. But basically, based on some support that was kind of put in together by some anglers and also the Department of Natural Resources, they talked with, it's SEENG, to regulate and give a more regular flow out of Lake Murray to keep cold water running through the lower Saluda. And what they found, you know, because they were trying to basically prolong their trout fishing season.
Right.
But what they discovered was by having that cold water coming through there, the trout, which should never, ever have been there, you know, it's all a stocked fishery.
Right.
But what they discovered was two things. With those fish that were in there were growing to pretty good sizes, and they were also reproducing.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so they, you know, where they had stocked, you know.
Nature will find a way.
That's right. So basically they're like, wow, these fish are, you know, have really adapted.
Right.
And, you know, that shows a good partnership. So now they've enacted a law. Let me go back here to the press release. DNR held a series of public meetings in February to discuss the possibility of creating a catch and release only zone to facilitate the reproduction now occurring in the river. Now, feedback from anglers and other stakeholders was positive, and a bill that was sponsored by Lexington Senator Katrina Sheely was drafted, and basically it's made its way through the sausage-making mechanism
of the
state legislature. And come out on the other side, Senate Bill 1044, which modifies the code of laws about fishing, was passed by the legislature in May and signed into law by Governor Henry McMaster.
That's McTaxter.
On May 17th. Now, as a result, like I said, starting July 1st, the lower reach of the Saluda River. Now, you got to pay attention here because this is the difference between a ticket and not a ticket. From the eastbound I-20 bridge downstream to Lacey's Ledge. Now, I have no idea where that's at, but you better find that. You better find that. There's actually a. They got a map in here with it. Let me blow this up and look at it.
Okay.
So Lacey's,
that's what you need to look at.
Lacey's Ledge. You probably just need to go to the DNR website and pull this up.
I would recommend it.
From I-20 down to looks like you're. They don't have a legend on here, but several miles above Riverbank Zoo.
Okay.
You're probably going to have, 10 or 12 miles of this area that's going to be catch and release. And so you better pay attention to that. But
because I'm sure somebody will be down there in green jeans keeping an eye on
that. Yeah, they will. Especially trout, man. They get serious about their trout.
Yes, they do.
And so a lot of we got our buddy Ross Self. He said the establishment of the catch-and-release zone between I-20 and Stacy's Ledge on the lower Saluda will provide an opportunity for anglers to experience a very good trout fishery in a very unique location.
Excellent.
That's according to Ross Self. The area, this area should have very good access and is the best area for anglers to wade and fish of any location along the Lower Saluda. And they're, you know, they're really happy. I think they look up here at some of these trout streams, you know, that we've got in the upstate and up right. in North Carolina and Tennessee, and they're like, you know, a lot of guys that fly fish.
Right.
And they're like, man, we don't want to see a bunch of people hanging out on the bank, you know, throwing worms and corn in here and gut looking our trout.
People like Philip and Tommy Springer. Yeah.
And so good job, guys. Everybody coming together, going to have a year-round catch and release. Y'all better do something about them stripers, though. I'm going to tell you what.
They eat a lot.
I have been in there fishing. I'm going to tell
you. Just watch them feed.
One of the best lures, if you're going to fish in there.
Tell us, Philip.
I've kayaked down through there.
Tell us,
guy showed me. You take one of these Rebel, the little creatures.
Right.
I use like a grasshopper.
Okay.
And you throw that thing out there diagonally and let it kind of go down and reel it in slowly. And when you get down there in front of the trout, man, he'll eat that thing.
He'll eat it.
Yep. Looks like a bug.
Yeah, you
that's
reckon?
Like. Of course, you know, you could also fly fish and, you know, beat the air to death, which is what I do. You know,
I'm not coordinated.
And then the next thing you know, I usually fish with a combination of fly and some leaves.
Yes, lots of leaves,
Philip
Guidry.
Yeah, because I usually snatch that in here. And then I get home and I look at my leader where I've been fly fishing.
And at least just.
And it has 16 knots in there.
Exactly. And you wonder why it wouldn't. Yeah.
How'd that happen?
Yeah.
And then you finally catch a big one and it breaks at one of those knots. So.
And back to.
Catch and release.
So get you some of that. And back to Captain Chip. If you want to listen to that interview, go to WRD.com.
That's right. We got a podcast.
And a podcast. Or go to download the radio.com
app. That's our new app, and you can go there and get the show.
I'm going to be checking podcast. It out. I'm going to be listening to you on my radio.com app when I'm on vacation, brother.
Yep.
So y'all better not be screwing this show up, okay?
Yep. If you missed the interview or missed the show anytime, go to the radio.com app. Takes you right to the 106.3 WORD.com website.
Absolutely.
And you can, I think you can still, call in from the app?
How do you call in from an app?
Yeah, I know. I think you can. I think you can dial in.
You can text in. You lost me.
Yeah.
Okay, which just doesn't take much, but you lost me.
This is the part where the program director says, just give them the radio.com. Don't try to explain stuff you don't know what you're talking about.
We're not as well lubed and well greased.
I listen to the podcast a good bit, especially if I want to critique it. A lot of my people
listen to the podcast.
Yeah. So.
They miss out on a lot of good commercials, though, especially you. I sent my dad you doing the Clinton House presentation.
Oh, they're going to love the one we got coming up this week. I won't ruin it for you, but it's...
My dad loved it.
It's a... we got a good one for Clinton House this week.
He said he loved the biscuits and mustard part. Yeah.
All right, Dan. Mm. Well, here's the end of the break. We're going to go for our hourly break. When we come back, we'll have hour two, Upstate Outdoors and the Roadkill Cafe.
Stay tuned. Don't want to miss it. Going to take a news break. We'll be on the flip side. Yeah!